Are you ready to be who your soul wants you to be? Are you ready to create a joyful life? You came here to make a difference in the world, and you can do it. We can show you how. Move beyond the basics of health and wealth and into a life of lasting joy with Lynn McGonigal, the founder and teaching channel of the Lightworkers Healing Method, right here on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Listen in as Lynn and her inspiring guests talk about what really matters in life and be who your soul wants you to be.
Welcome, friends. You're listening to Lynn McGonigal, the founder and teaching channel of the Lightworkers Healing Method. Welcome to Be Who Your Soul Wants You to Be. This is a Dream Vision 7 radio network broadcast, and we're here at 1510 a.m. NBC Sports Radio Boston. We're heard live every second Sunday at 6 p.m. And you can also tune into our show on our station, Dream Vision 7 Radio, every week on Thursday and Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern and 5 a.m. Eastern for our European friends. To learn more and for a full station schedule, go to dreamvision7radio.com. Friends, we're all spiritual beings having a human experience. Our souls have a plan for our lives before we're born. Then we're born, and it's harder than we thought it was going to be. We knew there were going to be challenges, but as souls, we expect to win. Then we're born, and we can get bogged down in life. We can get stuck. We can forget to look truth in the eye. We can become afraid. It happens. And so our conversation today is designed to uplift you, to help you get unstuck if you feel stuck, to help you move forward faster if you're already moving forward. I'm here today with Gavin Harrison to talk about getting unstuck, moving forward in life, and finding joy. Gavin is the author of In the Lap of the Buddha, and he's the recipient of the Unsung Heroes of Compassion Award that the Dalai Lama, His Holiness the Dalai Lama, presents. He received it for kindness and quiet dedication to others. Doesn't he sound fabulous? His spiritual teachings are rooted in the Buddhist insight meditation tradition, which I also have a 20-year background in. Gavin's poetry has flowered from the realization of his true nature. He was born in South Africa and lives on the big island of Hawaii. He's a student of yoga, of Tai Chi, and Qigong. His passions include ocean swimming, hiking, and growing fruit and vegetables. He's a USA fundraiser for the Woza Moya Project, supporting AIDS orphans in KwaZulu, South Africa. And he has a new book coming out right about now entitled Petals and Blood, Stories, Dharma, and Poems of Ecstasy, Awakening, and Annihilation. And we're going to talk about that book really soon because that title is wonderful. It's wonderful. Gavin, thank you so much for joining us.
I'm so happy to be here with you today, Lynn.
I'm really looking forward to this conversation and actually have been for months, as long as you've been on our schedule. So, Gavin, can we begin by hearing what gave rise to your winning the Unsung Heroes of Compassion Award?
The award was, most importantly, given as an acknowledgement of the countless millions of people all over the world whom the Dalai Lama considers the unsung heroes of compassion. And 50 of us were identified to receive this award on behalf of all of us. I was just the lucky guy who got to go to the party. Mm-hmm. And it was given to me, I think, in acknowledgement of the years of political and grassroots activism against apartheid in South Africa, and also a recognition of the human transparency with which I've grappled with the reverberations of sexual abuse and incest, of living with AIDS for 30 years, and also coming out as a gay man and grappling with homophobia in a really intolerant country my early years, and then later in a role as a spiritual teacher and poet in a tradition where these issues were not really in the social currency and discourse until fairly recently.
Yes. Yes. And so how did you come to the attention of His Holiness or His Holiness's committee or office?
You know, I have no idea. I was out swimming in the ocean one day, and when I came back, my mother was visiting me from South Africa, and she was in tears, and I thought something was wrong, and she was with some people I'd not met. And these were emissaries, I guess, from His Holiness asking me if I would be willing to accept the award.
How long did you think about it?
I just said yes.
Good choice. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so, you know, that was it. And, you know, there was a wonderful celebration in San Jose, California. As I say, there were 50 of us from around the world. We all got to know each other. I made some good friends. And as I said, it was really an acknowledgement of the countless people who in their own way all over the world are endeavoring to make a difference.
I bet they were wonderful people, were they?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Yes.
No. They were great. There was one other man from Hawaii, another woman from South Africa, and then, it was a beautiful tapestry of great hearts all together in one place.
Yes. And many different languages, I'm imagining.
Yeah, as many languages almost as people.
Oh, how wonderful. How wonderful. How wonderful. A tapestry of humanity.
Indeed.
A tapestry of helping humanity, actually.
Yeah.
So in the work, there must have been something in your work. What work were you doing that you believe was involved in this?
Well, my sense is that In the Lap of the Buddha was in some ways quite radical and seditious in that it was a document where I was really, as I said, very transparent in the ways that spiritual practice, meditation in particular, birthed a capacity to enter the fire of self-acknowledgement and to kind of withstand the flames of fear and anger and rage and to eventually find some peace within that storm. And rather than feeling a victim of the sexual abuse and incest that happened so long ago, eventually and documented in the Lap of the Buddha, and it's an ongoing journey, it wasn't like I aced it and it was done, is that these circumstances don't define me. I know that what I am is infinitely larger than any virus or any trauma could ever be, and for that I'm so grateful.
Yes. Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And so I believe your background is primarily in Vipassana and insight meditation. Was that your standard?
I would say, you know, my root teachings and my root teacher, Joseph Goldstein, you know, definitely there was a stabilizing and there continues to be a deep root in that tradition for which I'm infinitely grateful. And the last decade, maybe 15 years, the flowering has extended beyond the tradition. So while the root is always there, the one truth, the one love, the one freedom is now recognized pretty everywhere, certainly including the beautiful native traditions of the people here in Hawaii also, and certainly in Africa also. So it feels like I'm sort of out of the box with a deeper root of gratitude in the teachings of the Buddha than ever before.
Out of the box is my story. I came to Buddhism as a second stop. My first stop was with the higher dimension experiences that I started having after my brother died 23 years ago. And my guides suggested that I needed to do something to bring some peace to my mind. They strongly recommended that I begin a habit of meditation, and that was, oh goodness, a long time ago, more than 20 years ago. And I'm very grateful for that suggestion. It was a good idea, like all their ideas. So, Gavin, you're a teacher, right? Would you feel comfortable if I referred to you as a spiritual teacher?
Altogether comfortable. That's fine. They're all labels.
Right. Labels have a certain element of usefulness. I agree that they're limiting, but it gives people some kind of idea of what type
Absolutely.
Of... Absolutely. Yeah. And so I am a spiritual teacher as well. I teach angelically guided energy healing for soul purpose. The purpose of this system is to bring people into alignment with their soul plan. And as a result, it is an energy healing method, but its purpose is to be on our life plan, our soul plan. So it's predominantly a spiritual modality, a spiritual healing modality. So... As a teacher, working with people to help them get unstuck and find joy, we notice so many people are really good and stuck, right?
Oh, yeah. You've also got a great sense of humor, Lynn.
Well, what do you mean by that? I do have a good sense of humor, actually. I've been told that.
There's just a lot of laughter in your voice, which is so lovely.
You know what? I live in joy. I live in joy. And it's been the biggest shock to me to discover how rare that is, how rare it is. I didn't always live in joy. That is a true statement. But I thought somehow that other people did, and I was the only one suffering, and now I know that's how everyone feels. They're suffering, and they think they're the only one, or that other people aren't suffering as much. And it makes them feel...
Reminded of the words of the Sufi Muslim poet Hafiz, who says, I'm happy even before I have a reason.
Yes. Hafiz is my favorite poet. He's my favorite poet. I quote him in my classes frequently.
Oh, beautiful.
Yes. Yes, there's a book. I spoke with Daniel Ladinsky, who's a wonderful translator of Hafiz. He has a reasonably new book out, A Year of Hafiz, and it's got a poem every day. Beautiful, beautiful. Mm-hmm. So anyway, helping people get unstuck and move forward. I've been working with this koan for years now, and it seems to me that the foundational issue in our world today is that many people don't know what truth feels like. They're confused about what's true and what's not true, and as a result, they're chasing things that won't bring them joy, won't bring them happiness, and making all kinds of other decisions that don't help them. But the issue is being able to look at truth. Have you come across this?
Oh, certainly. I mean, I loved what you said about the direction of your guides to have a regular practice, because one of the benefits of a spiritual practice is that it renders us increasingly more sensitive, both inwardly and outwardly. And in that field of deepening sensitivity, we are at the same time, I think, being calibrated almost like psychically, physically, spiritually, to be able to discern more clearly, not as a thought or as a yardstick, but sort of in the depths of our hearts, what feels true and what doesn't feel true. And one of my responsibilities as a spiritual teacher, I feel, is to fortify and deepen the capacity of students. students or friends that I work with to be able to receive life and its expressions moment to moment in this field of sensitivity, where for themselves they can discover what is true and what feels incongruent with what's true. And, you know, in this world today where, you know, all of us are surrounded by a smorgasbord of spiritual possibilities, which is a wonderful thing.
Yes.
I think one of the perils of that is that I see so often that when things get rocky or uncomfortable, students then switch tracks and try something else, because there's this presupposition that if things, if there's suffering, if there's discontent, then something's going wrong.
Yeah.
But the whole journey is a movement for them towards just light and sort of unremitting sense of love, and that, you know, there's this impulse to bypass and circumvent the difficulty. And so one of the other responsibilities I feel is to affirm the significance of telling the truth to ourselves, of
yeah.
developing a capacity to be candid, frank, honest with ourselves, and hopefully at some point there flowers a love of truth that supersedes the need for distraction any longer. And when
hopefully
that happens,
at some point.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's both, you know, I see the path as both immediate and somewhat progressive, sort of, you know, the sort of absolute and the relative perspective on the journey. The absolute perspective is that the love, the freedom, the joy we yearn for is already given.
Yes.
And the relative perspective, you know, the human, everyday perspective, concurrent with the absolute, always and already given essence of who we are and the nature of existence, that there must come at some point a stirring to come face to face with everything that obscures the loveliness that's already there. And that willingness feels to me altogether about what you call becoming unstuck.
Well, I think, I believe that being willing to look an inconvenient truth in the eye is a prerequisite to getting unstuck. Until we're willing to look at it and say, yes, this is true, this unfortunate circumstance is true. If
yeah.
we're in denial that it exists, we're disempowered. We can't do anything to help ourselves. But as soon as we look it in the eye and say, this is true, this is inconvenient, it is unfortunate, I wish it were different. However, it is not different. Now I can start to do something to change it.
And so I mean, remember, like a pivotal, absolutely divine moment happened. I was on a really long silent retreat in the thick of dealing with the legacy of sexual abuse, which involved huge waves of anger and a fear that I called a kind of annihilation fear, and just huge rage that I wasn't protected as an infant and a young boy. And there was a moment in this cauldron of human emotions where there was just a glimmer and then a glimpse of the possibility of actually there being a visceral, deep yes to everything that was happening, not a yes that was condoning what happened or pretending that it didn't happen, but just a yes. And that moment actually was a turning point for me. It wasn't that the feelings disappeared. It was that my relationship with the feelings shifted.
Yeah.
They no longer defined me as deeply as they did before. There was this resolve to discover that of me that was untouched by all the violence that happened.
Yes.
And that it was...
Gavin, I'm sorry, we have a break coming up right now, and so
okay.
I'm sorry, here we are in the middle of a wonderful portion of the show. But friends, you're listening to Be Who Your Soul Wants You to Be. I'm your host, Lynn McGonigal, and we're here today with our guest, Gavin Harrison, recipient of an Unsung Heroes of Compassion Award from His Holiness the Dalai Lama. You can find out more about Gavin at his website, gavinharrison.net, two R's, one S, Harrison, and about the Lightworkers Healing Method at lightworkersmethod.com. Friends, you can be who your soul wants you to be. You can live the life you've come here to live. You can create joy. In just a few minutes, we'll be back for more with Gavin Harrison.
Are you ready to be who your soul wants you to be? Join Lynn McGonigal, the founder of the Lightworkers Healing Method, as she and her amazing guests show you how to move into a life of lasting joy. Miracles happen every second Sunday at 6 p.m. right here on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Hasn't your soul already waited long enough?
Join Dr. Bernie Siegel on Mind Health Matters every first Sunday at 8 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Bernie will draw from his inspirational personal journey, offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom. Listen in as Bernie reminds us to be fully engaged in life.
Join us every first Sunday of the month at 7 p.m. for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, where you'll discover life wisdom and achieve greater spiritual awareness. Through Cynthia's coaching tips, healing stories, and inspirational interviews, you'll improve your relationships, find greater balance, and achieve inner peace today. Join thousands who've transformed their lives through Heart Living. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Are you a healing practitioner or a serious spiritual seeker? Do you want to be who your soul wants you to be and help others do the same? You can learn angelically guided energy healing with the Lightworkers Healing Method. Because its goal is to align us with our soul's life purpose, LHM is both a healing system and a spiritual growth vehicle. You can return to your natural state of joy and fulfillment and help others do the same. It's a skill, not a gift, and nothing is off limits. Are you ready to be who your soul wants you to be? Come to lightworkersmethod.com as taught at Kripalu and the Institute of Noetic Sciences. Course credits are available. Join us on Creating a Spirited Life with Janet Kesenick the third Sunday of every month at 8 p.m. We'll explore the day-to-day moments that puzzle, enlighten, and bring us into deeper connection with our best selves. Find meaning, purpose, and humor while creating a spirited life. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Tune in every first Sunday at 6 p.m. for Maximum Success, The Coach Brew Show. You'll learn success strategies to take your game to the next level from performance consultant John Brubaker. Maximum Success explores why winners win and teaches you the keys to peak performance. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back, friends. You're listening to a Dream Vision 7 radio broadcast here at 1510 a.m., NBC Sports Radio Boston. I'm Lynn McGonigal, host of Be Who Your Soul Wants You to Be, and the founder and teaching channel of the Lightworkers Healing Method. And we're here today with Gavin Harrison, author of In the Lap of the Buddha, recipient of an Unsung Heroes of Compassion Award from the Dalai Lama, and author of Petals and Blood, Stories, Dharma, and Poems of Ecstasy, Awakening, and Annihilation. And we were talking right before the break about truth, about being able to look truthfully at what life is handing us, just acknowledging what is, and how that can help us become more comfortable with telling ourselves the truth, and how when we start to tell ourselves the truth, it makes it easier to tell what's true in the world around us, and then we can live more effectively. Gavin, would you say that's, do you agree with what I just said? Did I summarize it accurately?
Absolutely, Lynn, absolutely.
So now, Gavin, how does one help people look truth in the eye when they're afraid to do that?
Well, I think there are a number of ways that we can create a circumstance where it's easier. The one rooted very eloquently in the Sufi tradition, which I know we both have some roots.
Another common link.
Yeah, is, you know, I love the ethic of longing for God, longing for truth, this yearning for the beloved. Rumi says that the howling of a dog for its master is the return message. That if, as a spiritual teacher, there can be a fortifying of this yearning. I sometimes think my primary job description as a spiritual teacher is to throw logs on the fire of this yearning.
Yeah.
So hopefully this love for, if you will, God, for truth, for what's real, what's authentic, gives us, births within us, the courage perhaps to face what we have not yet faced, to be actually able to approach the unapproachable. And I think another way that we can serve one another is to overtly embody a life that unambiguously includes this willingness to enter the fire and to be willing to open to that which is greater than any fire could ever be.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. It's true. There is so much grace all around us. Source loves us. The universe has our back. Everything is truly working as it should. The troubles in our lives, by and large, are either, they're all gifts in disguise. There's a gift in every single circumstance, every single circumstance. And when we learn to look for the gifts, rather than saying, why am I being punished? But to say, what is the gift in this situation? We can find it. It's always there. Has that been your experience?
Yeah. I mean, you know, here language can be a little complicated. And, you know, sometimes it's helpful, I found, to turn people towards the possibility of discovering, you know, the gift, the blessing in a situation. Unfortunately, what I see a lot also is that often people will use these words as a kind of platitude for actually circumventing a deep acknowledgement of what's really going on. They're sort of aiming for the gift without getting their feet wet within the truth of the circumstance.
Right, and that doesn't work at all. That's spiritual bypass. That's denial. That's not looking at truth.
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I think that, you know, if as spiritual teachers we can get those that we with we can get them to face the truth by creating circumstances where it's too excruciating to not face the truth. And sometimes the magnitude of the suffering, you know, tips people beyond that threshold. Sometimes just an intimation of God, of the beloved, of the truth, whets the appetite to such an extent that nothing less than the truth will do. And I think also having spiritual communities where we open to one another with candor and honesty about what's happening, where we struggle, can also fortify this yearning to discover what's truth.
It can. You know, this is an interesting stage of my life because I teach energy healing and have worked in energy, subtle energy, for 23 years, I can see energy very well. I can see the vibrations of thought, and I watch what happens and what in people's thinking, and it has certain colors and vibrations that indicate how true it is and how true it is not. And I've discovered that what many people say when they're suffering is simply not true. It's not.
Yeah.
It's interesting. And so they sit in those gatherings. I know what you're talking about. And they say what they believe to be true, and they will call it my truth. Well, I need to speak my truth. And then I watch the vibration, and then it's veering off into a color that is distinctly not a color of truth. It's a color of untruth. Now, they might not believe it to be a lie. You understand? They might think it's the truth. They obviously do.
Yeah.
But they're not speaking the truth.
Yeah.
And those conversations I find to be worse than neutral. I find them to be less than helpful and in fact, harmful, because it can get the person even more stuck.
Yeah. One of the most uncomfortable and radical sort of interventions that from time to time I'm called to make with groups of people on retreats, or we have various ways here on the Big Island and in South Africa.
Yeah, we have our ways. Sorry, go ahead.
I say, okay, think of the absolute worst thing in the world. And then I say, for me, that's the abuse of a child. For me, there's nothing more unconscionable than the abuse of an infant. And then I say, what's your instinctual response to this? Is it a yes or is it a no? And everybody will say, no, of course, no. And then I say, well, let's just shift the lens here for a moment, because this is what's happening. And so consider this for a moment. Suspend your disbelief. Don't believe me, but don't disbelieve this possibility either. Can there be a yes that's rooted in this is the truth of this moment? As I said before, not condoning it or pretending it's not happening, but sort of arresting the impulse to say no and want to change it, but almost pause with a yes, this is the way it is. And then almost in the next moment, there might be a response, but that response is the birth child of a heart that is perhaps, probably, certainly broken open by the acknowledgement of what's happened. And then that can birth a response and a movement in the world that is so much more trustworthy than, you know, moving from a place of anger, fear, rejection, disbelief, wanting it to be different so that we can feel better.
Yes, I agree. And I do agree, but I again go back to everything is a gift. For example, abuse of children is a horror. It is a horror. Please don't get me wrong. And I find that, as a matter of fact, many spiritual teachers and most healers have an abuse a situation of childhood abuse in their old background, but the childhood experiences are crafted to set us up for our soul plan. Everything is so closely supervised by our guides during childhood that everything that happens, all those horrors, were needed in order for us to step into our role and do our work in the world. And so when I'm saying look for the gift, I'm talking about a deeper gift, really a much deeper gift at the spiritual level, a gift to the soul, a gift to the soul of horror in the life. And I'm so sorry because once again we're coming up on a break. So friends, here's the thing. Bad things happen. They do. And lying about it doesn't help us. But when we start to look at the bad things and then look underneath it, what was the spiritual purpose for this tragedy in my life? It's always there. It's always there, friends. Okay, we're listening to Be Who Your Soul Wants You to Be. I'm your host, Lynn McGonigal. We're here with Gavin Harrison. You can find out about Gavin and his life and work at gavinharrison.net. And about the Lightworkers Healing Method at lightworkersmethod.com. Friends, you can be who your soul wants you to be. You can do it. In just a few minutes, we'll be back for more.
Are you ready to be who your soul wants you to be? Join Lynn McGonigal, the founder of the Lightworkers Healing Method, as she and her amazing guests show you how to move into a life of lasting joy. Miracles happen every second Sunday at 6 p.m. right here on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Hasn't your soul already waited long enough?
Money makes us react. It has a way of eliciting an immediate response. From our home life to our own business environment, money is usually front and center. For CPA Jane Honick and psychotherapist Spencer Melnick, the debate is not about what you do with your money. It's about how you feel, react, and interact when it comes to money. Join us at 6 p.m. on the fourth Sunday of every month to explore the money dynamic, part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Join us every second and fourth Sunday at 7 p.m. for Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, where we explore the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life. Let's figure out together the ways we're meant to serve and become the fullest expressions of our most authentic selves. Let's figure out together how to create lives of balance, abundance, and joy. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Are you seeking solutions to creating the life of your dreams? You can have it all. Join Brenda Pierce and guests as we break the blocks, holding you back from living your fullest life of wealth, wellness, abundance, and joy. Sign up for newsletters and interesting articles, including the life-changing Telesummit series, Healthy Wealthy Evolution, at healthywealthyevolution.com. Together, we can evolve into our fullest life experience.
Today is the first day of the rest of your life. Join us the third Sunday of each month at 7 p.m. for The Door is Open, Walk Right In, for fascinating discussion topics from Men Are from Mars, Women Are from Venus, to psychology and tarot, to hypnosis, to strength-based recovery. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Take a journey to a place of the divine love within with Deborah Bovee on the Love by Intuition show, Saturdays 2 to 3 p.m., Our message is love in the purest form. The light within us all is a guide to recall our beginning, to learn to love self and humankind, to feel the higher power of our own divinity. To attract love, one needs to be love. Saturday, 2 to 3 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Join us every second Sunday of the month at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, for the Nurturing Intuitive Children with Dr. Nikki show, where you'll discover holistic strategies and techniques that support intuitive and empathic children in our homes, in schools, and in healthcare. Through our panel of distinguished guests, you'll receive parenting tips, education strategies, and holistic health solutions that'll help you improve the lives of these magnificent children and help their inner light shine even more brightly on the planet. Our program is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Change in life can be a peaceful evolution. Join Brenda Pierce and guests on the Healthy Wealthy Evolution Show, where you'll receive solutions to wealth, wellness, and joy. The Healthy Wealthy Evolution Show is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network and heard every fourth Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern on 1510 AM NBC Sports Radio Boston and syndicated on the Dream Vision 7 radio network worldwide.
Welcome back, friends. You're listening to a Dream Vision 7 radio broadcast here at 1510 AM, NBC Sports Radio Boston. I'm Lynn McGonigal, host of Be Who Your Soul Wants You to Be, and the founder and teaching channel of the Lightworkers Healing Method. And we're here today with Gavin Harrison, who's the author of a couple of books, including Petals and Blood, Stories, Dharma, and Poems of Ecstasy, Awakening and Annihilation. And Gavin, in the classes I teach, in the level one class, the foundational class, we spend Sunday morning talking about ways we can support ourselves in opening up to subtle energy and being able to sense even more subtly the truth of what's going on around us. And part of that is feeling safe. When we feel safe, we open our heart. And part of feeling safe is connecting with God by any name, source, however we wish to conceptualize that, to just open to divine presence, connecting with nature, petting a dog, listening to poetry or music. All of those can open the heart. Do you find this to be true?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I live in the most beautiful of circumstances, and so the natural world is a deep refuge, both on land and underwater. And I think that, you know, on any spiritual journey, it's critical that there be an embrace of the sacred, of the trustworthy, as you said, of a place where we feel safe. Because, you know, the whole journey is a movement into the unknowable. And unless there's a fundamental feeling of some degree of safety, there's no way that we can move to places in ourselves that we've not journeyed before or into the heart of existence and its mystery.
I agree. Do you have, out of your wonderful new book, Petals and Blood, a poem or two perhaps that you would like to share that might help people along this journey into joy and love and gratitude and celebration?
Sure. Bridge to Nowhere.
Oh.
Don't be too quick to cross the threshold from this world to the one calling you home. You may wish to hesitate for a moment before beginning your great adventure. For the bridge upon which you walk shall disappear behind you, and a great unknowingness will obscure the way ahead. Listen to the voices of madness calling you home. Come naked into the mystery. Toss your garments to the winds. This is the high path. No railings. Everything for nothing. Welcome to the insane asylum. If deep within you there lives a devotion to this insanity, keep walking. If not, hug tight your clothing. Return to the land of the sleeping. You may wish to move swiftly, because remember, the bridge is disappearing behind you. Oops. You've probably crossed the line already. Here, hold my hand. It takes one lunatic to recognize another.
Now, many people appreciate a bit of commentary after hearing a poem, commentary from the poet, explanation. Would you be willing to provide something like that?
Yeah. I mean, there's a thread of humor through the poem, which feels important because it can, you know, it's not always easy to move from the familiar to the unfamiliar. And yet if we're unwilling to do that, the freedoms that are available to us are very circumscribed by that unwillingness. And so this acknowledgement of the kind of madness of actually leaving everything that is known, that has been, and stepping into the unknowable, it's a real insanity. I mean, who would give up everything for nothing? And yet that, in a nutshell, is the invitation. And yet we can say that we're moving towards the unknowable. However, there are also intimations of the unknowable that fortify us and give us that courage. This poem I've titled The Great Story. Embedded deep within you from the very beginning is the great story of your life. Fall to your knees, lay your ear to the ground, and listen for the melody of that story. Do you hear your song? It's there, rooted within you, always playing, beautiful beyond describing, awaiting your dancing. Are you settling for anything less than your story, your song? Return yourself to yourself. Discover the meaning already seeded within you. Embrace the great story you have longed for so long. And as you die to all the small stories and little songs, may the requiem of their passing herald the glory of your homecoming. Give way into the sacred arc of your life, your story, your song, home.
Bravo, bravo. That's wonderful. You know what, Kevin? That's exactly what my message is to people. You have a plan for your life. Your soul has a plan for your life. You came up with it before you were born. Live it. Live it. Don't give up. Don't play small. People on this world have come here at this time to make a difference. Our world needs help right now, not later. Now is the time. All around us are the people who have come here to make a difference. They have. And so as we help them feel safe, get unstuck, and move forward bit by bit, each doing our part, everybody working together, each doing our part, the world does transform. It does. So friends, I hope that you have really enjoyed our conversation with Gavin today as much as I have. And I have a little explanation of an experiment. We're going to do an experiment over the next couple of months with our show format. And I want to explain what we're doing. And then we'll come back and say goodbye to Gavin. But in the next couple of months, we're going to invite some higher dimension guests to join us. You see, friends, I'm a channel for higher dimension beings. I teach others how to do this as well. I'm a channel for angelically guided multidimensional energy healing, and I teach others to do this. And so this is another way of having guests that have something to contribute to the world, is to open up to those guests that have no bodies, but that can speak through a body that is trained to allow them to speak through. So this is the last show for the next couple of months where we're actually going to have a guest in a body, so value it. Gavin, it's really been wonderful having you here, and I really would like to acknowledge and honor your life and your work and how much good you're doing to make a difference in the world, both through your poetry and your teaching and through your support of the people who are working in Africa to make a difference with AIDS orphans. That's a really, that's a traumatic beginning to a life. So thank you. Thank you on behalf of humanity for the work that you're doing. Friends, I hope you've enjoyed our show for today, Opening to Joy with Gavin Harrison. Again, you can find out about Gavin and his work at his website, gavinharrison.net, two R's and one S in Harrison, and about the Lightworkers Healing Method at lightworkersmethod.com. Friends, we have a week-long intensive coming up in January in Kripalu, and we are getting ready to start actually, by the time you listen to this, it will already be going on. We're having a contest to win a free class at Kripalu. Go to our website, lightworkersmethod.com. I believe there will be a link on the home page, and you can enter to win a week-long intensive in angelically guided energy healing. You can learn to discover the truth for yourself by using your hands. You can literally learn to feel what's true and what's not so that you can face life, get unstuck, move forward, find a life of joy. It's a teachable, learnable skill, friends. We can all do it. We can all do it. Gavin, do you have anything you'd like to say right before we sign off?
Thank you from the bottom of my heart. This has been so much fun, a blessing, and a privilege. And I wish you well in every way with the wonderful work that you're doing, Lynn.
Gavin, you too. You too. Friends, it's important to find the way in which your heart wants to contribute to the world. You can do it. There's something inside of you that's been there since you were a little girl, a little boy. It's been there all along. Breathe into it. Find it. It's there. Listen to it. Say, what is it again? Tell me again. What is it I'm supposed to do with my life? And then immediately there will be voices that tell you why you can't do that. Don't listen to those voices. They aren't the voice of truth. Listen to the other voice, the voice that says, maybe if I just hope, maybe I can take a step. Maybe I can make a difference. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. Much love, dear friends. Until we talk again, walk in light, live in light, be light, and be here next month to listen to the higher dimension voices. It's a trip. It is. And to feel their joy and their love, which is always here for us. They beam love and truth and joy.
Thanks for tuning in to Be Who Your Soul Wants You to Be with Lynn McGonigal, the founder and teaching channel of the Lightworkers Healing Method, and her wonderful guests. We're proud to be a part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network and glad to have you with us. Please join us every second Sunday at 6 p.m. and then come to lightworkersmethod.com for many freely shared learning resources. As we each do our part, the world transforms. And hasn't your soul already waited long enough?
Join Dr. Bernie Siegel on Mind Health Matters every first Sunday at 8 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network. Bernie will draw from his inspirational personal journey, offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom. Listen in as Bernie reminds us to be fully engaged in life.
Greenlock is the place to go for horse therapy you should know. We use the horse, they do the trick, to help you talk and walk and skip. The horse's movement builds your muscle. It also makes you laugh and chuckle. To do our job, your help we need. To run the farm and buy our feed. To help us out, just double-click on greenlock.org. Do it quick.